It's the biggest restructuring of General Motors since the company went bankrupt during the financial crisis a decade ago. GM announcing Monday that it plans to cut roughly 14,000 jobs across the U.S. and Canada, shut 5 plants across the two countries, and is targeting more plant closures for some time after 2019. That's coming from the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration on aluminum and steel. Industry-wide, passenger car sales have slumped 13% through September, while pickup truck and SUV sales are up 8.3%.
It's that time of the quarter again when some of the biggest money managers in the markets report their money moves. Many of them didn't bat an eye at gold investments this time. Even though these filings document money moves made a couple of months ahead of time, they often give good insight into investment trends that are just starting to play out in the market. Longtime gold bull hedge fund manager John Paulson kept his fund in its core gold investments for the third quarter of 2018. He held on to shares in SPDR Gold Trust, the world's biggest gold-backed exchange-traded fund. Paulson also didn't touch his positions in Anglo Gold Ashanti Mining Company, IAM Gold Corp, or Nova Gold Resources.
NASA will be sending a new probe to Mars. It's called Mars InSight, and it's a lander that will teach us more about the history and evolution of Mars. After traveling over 300 million miles through space and reaching the Martian atmosphere, InSight will have only 6 minutes to slow down and land safely. It will be going 14,000 miles per hour and carrying more mass than the previous Phoenix lander.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's November 27th, 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in this morning for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We got a lot to cover today. Plenty going on in the news. The Mars lander nailed it, landed on the red planet yesterday. You heard there in the opening montage. It was on its way. It is there and has already, within about an hour or so, sent back its first pictures of Mars. So American world scientists do it again and land on Mars. We'll look forward to the science from the Mars rover, the new Mars rover that's there. Also, the GM story is front and center this morning, laying off lots of folks, closing some plants. Dale Buss will be here this morning to talk a little bit about this. From Detroit to give us some perspective and analysis. That'll be at about 5:40 this morning. It's also Giving Tuesday, and we'll bring in our first guest momentarily. The president and CEO of Forefront is here, Eric Weinheimer, and we'll talk about Giving Tuesday, how you can help donate some money and perhaps even make a difference. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. A rebound of the tech sector fueled gains on Wall Street yesterday to begin the new trading week. Shares of Netflix, Facebook, Amazon, Google parent company Alphabet all traded higher. This comes after the tech sector lost more than 3.5% last week. General Motors rose more than 5% after the automaker announced its plans to close plants and lay off some workers. But this morning we're seeing some weakness on the markets. So futures are pointing to a flat to negative open. Later this morning, Dow futures are off about 0.25%. Same story for the S&P. NASDAQ futures are off about 0.5%. Around the globe this morning, markets in Europe are generally lower by about 0.25% in London, Germany, and in France. And in Asia, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei going to end the day up about 0.5%. Everything else in the red, almost everything else in the red this morning in Asia. And crude oil is trading at $51.73 a barrel. Cyber Monday is heading for an all-time online shopping record. U.S. shoppers spent a record $7.9 billion yesterday, according to preliminary numbers. The pace and the dollars picked up as West Coast shoppers got off work and started searching the internet for deep discounts on everything from Lego sets to big-screen TVs. By early last evening, sales were up 20% over last year, helped by a surge on orders made on mobile phones. I'm sure a lot of folks in the Midwest dealing with snow and home yesterday for a snow day also got to enjoy a Cyber Monday. Google is looking to move into land near Silicon Valley. The internet company recently purchased an office park for $1 billion in Mountain View, California, near its headquarters. Google, like Amazon, looking to expand in the coming year. And Facebook is investigating an app that claims to vet babysitters, and Twitter is blocking it altogether. The app is called Predictim. It offers a service that digs through the prospective babysitter's social media activity, looking for posts about violence, drugs, or undesirable content. Critics say trusting algorithms to give advice on whether to hire someone is a bad idea. Giving Tuesday is here. It's an important fundraising day for charitable causes, and it is especially important for local groups who are trying to raise money, not just money, but also community support as well. You can definitely make a donation and perhaps even a difference with your donation today. We wanted to bring in Eric Weinheimer. He's the president and CEO of Forefront, a giving advocacy group here in Illinois. Eric, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you here, and happy Giving Tuesday. Let's talk a little bit about the day and your group's involvement in it. I know I said there in the opening that this is a chance not only to make a donation, but a difference as well, and that's sort of your view, isn't it?
It is. It's an exciting day. It's become a big day. Giving Tuesday, I think this is our seventh year, and it has become this global movement. It's all over the world, and it is growing. And we here in Illinois, we decided to really leverage the power of this global movement. And so we started our own movement here for the state of Illinois. It's called I'll Give for Giving Tuesday. ILGIVE.com is the website. And the idea, Steve, is to really get people engaged and get them connected to some of the great work that's being done in communities here in Chicago and throughout the state of Illinois.
Yeah, and we're talking about those specifically that are here doing that work. I know there are a lot of great national organizations. This is sort of a focus on local groups. Give us a sense of who's involved.
Well, we have 900 nonprofits that have, you know, signed up for I'll Give.com. And what we've done is made it easy for individuals to connect with organizations that they may not be aware of, maybe small to mid-sized organizations in their community, and we've made it easy for them to do a search. So, for example, if you're interested in pet causes on the west side, you can go to I'llGive.com and you can look at those organizations that are doing that type of work in your local community, and then you get information about them. And then within 4 to 5 clicks, maybe on your mobile device, sitting on the bus, you can make a donation and you can make a difference. And so to your point, you know, there's a lot of organizations that are on the front lines that are, you know, doing this on the ground. They maybe don't have the marketing budget to really promote the important work that they're doing. I'llGive.com makes it easy for them to connect with new donors and get people engaged.
The history here, you've done this, I think, in 2014 when this ran. You started with about 13,000 donors, and it was $4 million. How have things been going since then?
Great. Last year, $13.4 million was raised across the state of Illinois on all of the giving platforms, about over $3 million of it just on the I'llGive.com platform. And this year, we're anticipating $15 million being raised across the state of Illinois. And that's the whole point, is the idea of really, you know, building on this momentum. You know, I was talking to the founder of Giving Tuesday a while back. They're in Russia now. There's a Giving Tuesday campaign in St. Petersburg and in Moscow. And so there's really a lot of excitement. There's a lot of energy. And so we're seeing this thing grow and really being part of the culture here in the States and across the globe.
Eric Weinheimer is with us this morning, the president and CEO of Forefront. Eric, I'm interested to know how the economy, whether it's going good or bad. Some people say, lots of people say it's going good right now for most people. How does that impact giving, charitable giving?
Well, it definitely has an impact. And, you know, the economy going well, you know, we've seen philanthropy and individual giving increase over the past few years, certainly since the recession of 2008. But even more importantly than that, quite frankly, you know, people want to make a difference. They do want to support a lot of these organizations that are doing important work, particularly now, given all this changing in our world and certainly here locally. And they know that, you know, this work needs to continue. As a matter of fact, it needs to be amplified. And so I think people certainly look at their own, you know, economic situation, determine how much they give, but they also are, you know, looking at organizations that they believe in, and they know they can make a difference, and so they're going to give regardless of where they are economically, but it depends on how much.
Yeah, I was chatting with some folks yesterday, and one of them said, I feel sort of helpless to do anything in the world today, and Giving Tuesday is a chance for me to show a little bit of help and do something at least.
That's exactly right. And it is about giving, and certainly these organizations need the financial resources, but it's also about engagement. It's about getting people to actively participate, to share not only their financial resources, but share their talents, share their networks. And, you know, when you get, build a movement of people and you have everyone doing what they can, it really can make a big difference in organizations and, most importantly, in communities.
You hit on a good point there. It's not always about money. Volunteering your time is always a good thing. How do people even begin to do that? They find an organization that they like. Do they just knock on the door and say, hey, listen, I'd like to volunteer?
Well, there's a number of organizations that can make it easier for you. I mean, that certainly is one way is to, first, we always suggest find an organization for which you're passionate about, maybe something that you can personally connect to based upon your own life experience. And so find those organizations and then, yes, do that kind of research and find out what opportunities there might be to volunteer. But then there are also other great organizations that can make it easier for you, like Chicago Cares, that does that, vetting of organizations and making sure that the volunteer opportunities are meaningful. There's a variety for people, their various talents and time commitments. And so you can go to an organization like Chicago Cares and find out an organization that makes sense for you.
You mentioned something earlier in our conversation about how a lot of these organizations don't have the infrastructure in place to do the marketing and know how to do fundraising to the level of others. Talk to us a little bit about your organization, Forefront, and how you help in that area.
Well, Steve, we are the State Association for Nonprofits, as well as foundations and social entrepreneurs, basically any organization that is focusing on social impact and social good. We have 1,100 members, and those include the large foundations and large nonprofits. But most of our members, 1,100 members, most of them are these small to medium-sized organizations. So what we do at Forefront is we provide education. We do a lot of, helping them to build their infrastructure and their capacity. We do a lot of advocacy in D.C. and in Springfield on behalf of these nonprofits as well as these foundations. And then we create campaigns like I'll Give for Giving Tuesday, in which we make it easier for organizations to amplify their message, their mission, connect with new donors, and further their mission.
We appreciate you taking some time out, Eric, and being with us today. By the way, you can head over to illgive.com, and you even have a leaderboard up to show where people are donating, and there's a wonderful video there as well. Even a countdown that shows how long you have to take part in I'll Give, 18 hours, 32 minutes, and 15 seconds, if anybody's counting. But any final thoughts?
Well, we want to make it easier for people to make a difference today, and quite frankly, hopefully every day. So if people go to illgive.com, make a donation, learn about some of this great work, and then, as we talked about earlier, getting engaged that they can make a difference throughout the year, whether it be through volunteering or with your financial support.
All right, Eric, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Steve. Have a good day.
You too. Eric Weinheimer, President and CEO of Forefront. You can find more again online for the organization at myforefront.org. And then the giving campaign, I'll Give, illgive.com. Remember that hashtag, ILGive, I'll Give on this Giving Tuesday.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. General Motors will be closing 5 assembly plants. The Hamtramck assembly plant in Detroit and the Warren transmission plant are 2 of the factories in Metro Detroit that will close. David Green is the president of the United Auto Workers Union in Lordstown, Ohio, where a plant there is also closing.
I felt like somebody kicked me in the stomach. I've been, working here for a long time.
Baltimore operations in Maryland and an assembly plant in Ontario, Canada are also being closed. The CEO of GM says the closing dates for the facilities will be different but all will end production by the end of the year. Workers at the plants affected by the closures will have the opportunity to transfer to other facilities. This move yesterday criticized by President Trump, who says he's not happy with this, says he has talked to the head of GM. We wanted to bring in Dale Buss this morning from Michigan. Dale is a contributor to Chief Executive Magazine, Forbes Magazine, and others, and writes extensively about the auto industry. Dale, welcome back to the Opening Bell. Good morning.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
This is a pretty big deal. Give us a sense of what more you know about this and why this decision is coming now.
Well, Mary Barra made it real clear. It does seem out of place in a lot of ways, because we're used to seeing these kinds of slashing cutbacks in the midst of, or, you know, as a precursor maybe to recession. And even worse, 10 years ago, you know, we saw this bloodbath in the auto industry as both GM and Chrysler headed into bankruptcy and ultimately rescued by the U.S. taxpayers, right? So that's what we're used to seeing as the backdrop. And what Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, says she's trying to accomplish with this, which, you know, as you pointed out, is going to be very painful for tens of thousands, maybe 10,000 workers, is to get ahead of a potential recession. You know, the economic boom has been continuing. The CEOs that I talk to all say that they see pretty much go signs ahead, but the inevitability is at some point the economy is going to slow down. So GM and every company and Mary Barra and every CEO are looking at that. The other two things in the auto industry that she has to look at more closely is, A, the industry clearly is at the peak of its cycle in the U.S. We've had record sales of around 17 million units a year now for a few years, and there seems to be an inevitability that is going to decline at some point significantly. And then the second thing is people just aren't buying cars. They're buying SUVs. They're buying pickup trucks, both of which are very high profit for GM. But they're just not buying cars. So among other things in this plan, Mary Barra is going to be apparently deep-sixing some really interesting cars. The Chevy Impala, which has been around forever. The Chevy Volt, which was GM's initial foray in the electrified vehicles area. And the one that really stunned me was the Cadillac CT6, which was introduced just a couple of years ago. It's supposed to be kind of the savior of Cadillac's sedan line. It's their flagship. It's the most expensive one. That's going to be gone too. So Mary Barra is being very bold here, trying to get ahead of things, doing things that maybe others in the industry just aren't ready to do.
And there's a couple of points. Back to this point of getting ready for the future and ending these lines. Critics have said over the last 24 hours that Ford has done this, has switched over and stopped making some of these sedans, but has not closed plants or laid off a lot of workers. Is that a fair comparison, a fair assessment here, and why couldn't GM do that?
Yeah, it is. I mean, certainly Ford has... Well, they've indicated that they're going to phase out cars. So they're not doing it maybe as drastically as General Motors is. I mean, Mary Barra has said that these plants are going to be closing by the end of the year. Ford has kind of stretched things out. Plus, Ford has also is making some moves aimed that are kind of hopeful, I guess, aimed at trying to make sure that they do a better job with trucks and SUVs. So, for instance, a plant in Michigan where they used to make the Ford Focus, a little car, they're putting in a new version of the Bronco SUV that O.J. Simpson made famous, and also a mid-sized truck that Ford has not had. And there's going to be a lot of this going on across the auto industry. It's not just going to be GM, not just going to be Ford. There's going to be a lot of rationalization going on. And it is the case that with some of these GM vehicles, models that are a little bit long in the tooth, maybe this should have even been done earlier. But it's a balancing act, and it doesn't mean that Ford is healthier than GM. By no means is that the case, because GM is more profitable. GM seems to be more advanced in moving to the future of a driverless car. But that is a fair observation.
Yesterday, President Trump, very unhappy about this, said that the U.S. has done a lot for GM during the recession, especially bailouts, referring to the bailouts. and he's very unhappy. Does he have a point there? Does GMO, the U.S., U.S. taxpayers, is it wrong for them to make these decisions, or do they have to think about their company?
Well, yes and yes. GM does owe the American taxpayer. They paid off their loan, as it were, by putting themselves in the service of the U.S. government 10 years ago when GM was bought out of bankruptcy. GM is, as GM goes, so goes America to a great degree. So they definitely owe. They have put in, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars into their plants, into expansion, into overhauling, into trying to, right size and orient GM for this new future. But at the same time, this kind of thing is what the industry didn't used to do until it absolutely had to, and then it was worse. And so Mary Barra's point is, there's a lot of pain. They're not maybe going to be able to build a car in Ohio and ship it to China, as Donald Trump would like them to do. I don't think that's going to work price-wise in China. But she's saying, while we're healthy, let's do this. Let's take on some pain. Let's right-size the company. Let's do some things to make sure that we're going to be a player 5 and 10 years from now in this business. And not just wait until things start to fall apart economically and then we react. And so she knows this is going to bring on a lot of criticism. And I think President Trump actually called her on Sunday night, or vice versa. I think she called him to say, hey, heads up.
Right.
So it's going to be controversial, but it does show, I think, some far-sighted leadership, and we'll see how it plays out.
Folks inside GM on the flip side of this firing back at the president, saying the tariffs on steel imports have cost mm-hmm. General Motors $1 billion over the last year.
Yeah, and this is, as people have been warning President Trump about his trade policies and trying to use tariffs as such a blunt instrument, this is the kind of thing that people warned could happen. You're going to hurt domestic companies more than you'd like to. And while tariffs are far from the only factor, I would say there's still a minor factor in this whole thing. That is a lot of money to be shaving off General Motors' bottom line at a time when, while car sales remain strong, it's taking dealers and General Motors, more money on the hood to get people to buy them. And as we pointed out, people are just not buying sedans. GM had to do something about its sedan output because Ford already has indicated it's doing something, and Fiat Chrysler got rid of sedans in the U.S. A couple of years ago.
So, Dale, with the transformation for the future, as General Motors is calling this, will we see this continued streamlining, or is it possible that as they refocus their efforts that we'll see some of these jobs come back, or is it possible we'll see even more cuts going forward?
Yes, any of those are possible. I think Mary Barra is trying, as she said, to get ahead of this, so perhaps the cuts are steeper and deeper than she would like to make, but the fond hope is that they're not going to have to do this kind of thing again. But that depends on the American consumer and the economy. And so there are now actually economists saying that we're going to look at another 17 million unit sales year in the U.S. next year, which would be, I think, the fourth in a row around that level. That would be very good. That would mean General Motors and everybody else would be able to kind of keep on keeping on the way they are, except for this particular adjustment. And, the magnitude of the switch to SUVs and trucks has just taken everybody by surprise in the industry. And what you've got going forward, one of the most interesting dynamics is the Japanese producers all seem to be remaining behind their sedans. The Honda Accord, the Toyota Camry, vehicles like that are very important to those companies, whereas the American traditional big three are saying, okay, we get it. Americans don't want to buy sedans anymore. We're kind of getting get out of that business. It'll be really interesting to see, which of them is right, basically.
Yeah, and then the I guess one of the wild cards here is whether or not this future of autonomous vehicles and fully electric vehicles is one that's actually going to come to fruition. There are some futurists who say this could still be a long, long way off.
Yeah, the ultimate driverless economy is still a long way off. But what's happening in the meantime is all sorts of applications of this technology, not only to improve vehicles now in terms of their safety as individual units, but also you've got the logistics industry getting very invested in driverless trucks, say, and driverless technology. It's working its way through the industrial and the consumer economies in many ways. And General Motors has definitely, you know, if you look at third-party evaluations, emerged as an early leader in this. And so Barra is placing a huge bet that it will be able to get out front and stay out front in this area, you know, partly to offset some of what she's done in terms of job cuts and positioning GM for, you know, a future 5, 10, 25 years from now. It's a big bet.
Dale, always good chatting with you. Good analysis and insight here on this big story. We'll stay tuned for more from GM coming in the future.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye, Steve.
Dale Buss, a contributor at Chief Executive Magazine, his latest piece there on GM coming, also with Forbes and others, with us this morning from Michigan.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a week to a flat open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow futures are off about 0.25% this morning. Same story with S&P futures. And NASDAQ futures are off about 0.5%. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. We're still getting those weekly crop harvest reports from the USDA. And yesterday's report showed 94% of the nation's corn acres and 94% of the nation's soybean acres harvested and 95% of the winter wheat crop planted, 55% of that crop rated good to excellent. Meanwhile, we wait to see what will happen at the Buenos Aires meeting of the Chinese and U.S. presidents on Thursday and Friday. According to a story in the Wall Street Journal, President Trump said he expects to move ahead with raising the tariffs on $200 billion in Chinese imports to 25% from the current 10%. Looking at closing prices yesterday at the Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange, corn lower, wheat higher, soybeans sharply lower, down 18.5 cents. Lean hogs sharply lower, down $2.12. Cattle virtually unchanged. And that's a look at what's going on in the world of agriculture. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You have a great day as well. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, November 27th. Home prices are in the spotlight today. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index for September is due out at mid-morning. Industry and housing analysts are forecasting a 0.3% increase. The experts are predicting the same gain in the Federal Housing Finance Agency September index, which also comes out today. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index for November is being released, and the Smart Money says the index is going to stay very close to October's strong showing. We're going to look at the Red Book today. Also, numbers on consumer confidence. A couple of Fed speakers are out there today, including Chicago Fed President Charles Evans. And on the earnings calendar, Cracker Barrel and Salesforce quarterly earnings are due out today. So plenty could move the markets today on Tuesday, Giving Tuesday, November 27th, 2018.